League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
It is one defeat in 12. It's seven clean sheets in eight. It's three consecutive wins, three consecutive shutouts. One win off the top of the table. Sunderland, I tell you what, Storm Dennis did not deter the boys at the Kazam Stadium yesterday. Phil Parkinson bagging a Manager of the Month award for January 2. And a goal, a solitary goal for Jordan Willis. Kind of Jordan Willis, kind of John Massino own goal. It doesn't matter. It went in. Topping off the victory in the week, of course, a resounding win over Rochdale, proving that when the boys need to turn it on, they can turn it on. Sunderland back in the groove in League One. This is the Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport. In a moment or two, we're going to get Niall Bromley from the Roker Report to give us his reaction on the game. And I imagine he will be quite a happy chappy. But first, a bit of breaking news coming in to us right now. And that is that Porto's Moussa Marega has gone back, bitten back at alleged racist abuse in a game involving Porto and Vitória Guimarães this evening in the Primeira Liga in Portugal. Now, Marega, who spent a bit of time on loan at Guimarães, very successful loan spell to be fair, and had also been the subject of a bid from West Ham in the summer from memory, scored against his former club. He alleges that he'd been racially abused throughout the game. Upon scoring, he decided to point to the colour of his skin. Missiles came onto the pitch, bottles came on, chairs were thrown by Guimarães fans. And then around the 68th minute, Marega had had enough and he decided he wanted to leave the pitch, and he was visibly angry and teammates tried to restrain him. His manager, Sergio Conceição, tried to restrain him. Eventually, he decided to leave the pitch. He made a few gestures. He put his thumbs down. He made a few gestures, like I said, to the Guimarães fans, and actually wrote on Instagram after the game, "I would just like to tell these idiots who come to the stadium to make racist chants." He then mentioned a few choice words that I won't say on air. "I hope I never see you on a football field again. You are a disgrace. And I also thank the referees," this is an ironic tone here, "for not defending me and for giving me a yellow card because I defend my skin colour." It was the yellow card, I think, that was the catalyst for Marega deciding to leave the pitch. Conceição, the manager of Porto, also said, "We are a family regardless of nationality, skin colour, hair colour. We are human. We deserve respect. What happened here is unfortunate. We are completely indignant with what happened. I know the passion that exists for Vitória, and I think that most of the fans do not see themselves as having the same attitude as some people who insulted Moussa since the warm-up." So Moussa Marega there alleging that he received racist abuse from Vitória Guimarães fans in the game involving Porto and Guimarães this evening. No doubt there will be plenty of fallout from that here on Love Sport over the course of the next couple of days or so. Make sure you look out for Patrick Christie's and Martin Allen on Love Sport Breakfast tomorrow from 6:30 a.m. But right now it is the Sunderland Fan Show. Niall Bromley joins me on the line as ever. Hello, Niall.
Hello, Matt. You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. Great to have you on the show, boss. Just before we actually get into it, this news involving Moussa Marega and alleged racist abuse, with you as a football fan, and you know, you've travelled all over really watching Sunderland and just watching football in general, have you ever witnessed anything like this at a game yourself?
No. To be honest, no. Not once. I've never I've never actually seen any racial abuse. I've never witnessed it. I've never been a part of it. I've never been a victim of it. Not once. And like you say, I am quite well travelled in the football world. I've been all over Europe and been to many games. And yeah, I've never seen it personally. But obviously, you see what you see online and on social media, and you know it is disgusting. It has to stop. It's just ridiculous. So hopefully they can really shut it down. And yeah, maybe you know it does take walking off the field of play and stopping the game and stopping the entertainment, like what Gary Neville said a few weeks ago, because, I mean, this can't go on. And, I mean, that tonight, I've just read up on it there. It's absolutely disgusting what's going on. And it is horrible. But, I mean, like you say, I'm fortunate enough that I haven't witnessed it, but it needs to stop, because seemingly it is getting worse. And you know, we need to put an end to it now, really.
Yeah, indeed we do. Well said, Niall. Well said indeed. And I guess the team that isn't stopping at the moment is Sunderland, mate. Your beloved Black Cats are steamrolling up the League One table. As I said at the top of the show, mate, just one win off the top of the table now. Rotherham being held to a draw by AFC Wimbledon yesterday. If we just look at the results as well, of course, Coventry now up into second. They got a win at Southend, as you might have expected them to. Wickham actually getting an away win for the first time since time began, I think. But of course, they went to Bolton, so they've moved up into third. Peterborough's run of six games on the bounce, that came to an end because Fleetwood bagged a victory over them. Portsmouth continuing their run. Ipswich continuing their run. Actually, well, not Ipswich continuing their run, getting back on form by beating Burton 4-1, of course. Getting a win yesterday was pretty crucial.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, if we failed to win yesterday, we could have dropped as low down, I think it's ninth. I mean, it's absolutely insane how tight the league is. And, you know, Oxford is such a tough place to go. We've already been there once this season in the Carabao Cup in the last 16, and we drew the game and then got beat on penalties. But since we've been in the same league as Oxford, that's our fourth game against them, and it's the first one we've won. The other three have been 1-1 draws. And the, like I say, the Carabao Cup game, that was an extra game, that was 1-1 as well. So, you know, they're such a tough team to play. And those conditions yesterday were, you know, they were hard all over the country. I think everybody, you know, struggled with the conditions. It was really bad. Storm Dennis, you know, at his best, and it was tough. But you know, I think, to be honest, I'm starting to think in my mind is Phil Parkinson a tactical genius? I mean, it seems at the minute, I don't know if he's just, I don't know, getting the look of it. I'm not quite sure. But I mean, one of the lads from Oakwood Report put in the group earlier, and he kind of said, like, you know, it seems like when he wants to win a game comfortably, we'll win a game comfortably. When he knows, like, the conditions are poor and, you know, the pitch is poor and you're playing against a physical team, he'll win the game. How you've got to win the game. And that kind of, you know, seems to be what's happening. I mean, certainly against Tranmere a few weeks ago was very similar to the Oxford game. Obviously, no disrespect to Tranmere, but Oxford are a lot better than them. But, you know, it was still, the conditions were terrible, and the wind and the rain was there, and the pitch was awful, and we managed to scrape a 1-0 win like we did at the weekend. But, you know, Rochdale midweek, we were steamed, you know, we blew them away in the first half, and then it was kind of felt Parkinson at half-time, said to the lads, you know, don't commit. The weather's terrible. Don't commit. Don't push forward. Just do what you're doing. Keep the ball on the ground. Play it safe. This game's already won. Rochdale aren't going to come back. And we'll not get anybody injured, and you know, and that's how we're going, and it worked. So I'm like I say, I'm starting to think, you know, it's Phil Parkinson. I mean, in his past jobs, he's never really, I don't think he's had sort of the talent and you know, like what we have at Sunderland, and he's never had the squad depth. And I think now he's got that, he's kind of shown what kind of manager he is. And like you say, it could just be luck at the minute, but it seems like the guy really knows what he's doing. And like I say, he's just impressing everybody, and he's winning everybody over, which is fantastic to see, considering how much it was, you know, how much everybody was against him just, you know, 6-7 weeks ago.
I completely agree with you, Niall. 100% agree with you. And there was a moment, wasn't there, on the hour mark or so, where he did make a change in that game yesterday. Yes, you went ahead inside the opening 5 minutes, but he brought on Josh Gowan. He took off Lyndon Gooch. He changed. He reverted the tactics. So you were at the customary 3-4-3 and he moved to 3-5-2. That gave you guys an extra man in midfield because at the time, Oxford were just starting to pile on a little bit of pressure. Not so much in the sense of clear-cut chances, but actually getting a bit more of the ball and putting Sunderland under a bit of pressure. Basically, it looked like they were going to potentially come back into the game. Like we said, the conditions weren't treacherous, but very, very difficult to play in. So I completely agree with you, mate. I think he's now actually starting to show his managerial credentials in the sense that, yes, he could be something of a tactical genius.
Well, he could be. I mean, that's the thing. He's never had the resources, I think, in the past to kind of show that. I think he's trying. I mean, when he got promoted with Bolton from League One, it was kind of, they kind of defended their way, you know, up like into the top two. And I mean, if you look at us, we've had that yesterday was our seventh clean sheet, you know, and it was our third in a row, and in seventh clean sheet, I think in 12 games or something, and then third in a row. And you know, defensively, they look so organised. Like you said, bringing Scowen on, you know, stopping the space when Oxford were coming forward. I mean, Oxford they're a good side. They are a good side. They've got a lot of pace in that team. And I think that, you know, obviously when they're the home team and they're 1-0 down after 2 minutes, they're going to come at you. And Parkinson knew that, and he, you know, and he just dealt with it. And like you said, it's getting to the stage now where people are thinking, you know, this guy genuinely does look like he knows what he's doing, and he's got a way with words, you know. After in his interview, he seems to come across in his interviews, he'll tell you exactly why he did what he did and why it worked. And he explains himself, and it's kind of like, oh, you know, he's right in what he's saying. If that's what he's planned, that's absolutely brilliant because it worked, and that's what he's doing. And it's not pretty. Yesterday wasn't pretty, but it can't be pretty all the time. But when he wants to be pretty, he will be. The 4-0 win against Wickham, the 3-1 win against Lincoln, the 3-0 win midweek against Rochdale. If he wants that, he'll do it. But like I say, he sees Oxford away as a tougher game, which it was. They had 60% possession yesterday. We only had, you know, 40%. It's nothing really, but he dealt with that and he worked with it and got the 3 points. And yeah, it really is looking like Phil Parkinson knows what he's doing. And like I just said before, he's winning everybody over. I mean, I'm getting texts because I stuck by him from the start. Mm-hmm. Everybody laughed at me, and you know, all the report lads when we did what podcasts, and I was saying how I thought it was a very good appointment, and I was excited about it, and I got a lot of stick on Twitter, and you know, but now people are starting to text us saying, you know what it is now, maybe you were right about him, and I'm thinking, you know, well, I'm glad, because it's, you know, it was horrible for him. We got beat 2-1 at home to Burton Albion. The whole stadium is singing, getting sacked in the morning. The away fans, the home fans, same against Bolton on Boxing Day. And he had a stand there, and he stood on the touchline, and he listened to that. He listened to that ringing around the stadium, and he ignored it. He was brilliant. He still sort of directed the players and did what he was doing, and he got on with it. And to go through that, to go to where he is now, I think he hasn't, to be honest, he hasn't won everybody over. There's still a few people saying, well, it only takes a couple of defeats and we're back down to where we were kind of thing. And there's a few people saying that terrible run that he went on when we first went, you know, could still kind of knock us and could still, you know, be the reason why we don't get promoted. But, I mean, at the minute, the way that he's winning games is just so impressive. And there's a lot of fans warm at home. And it's lovely to see. And fingers crossed, we've got two home games coming up now in a row. And if we can win them too, which I don't see any reason why we can't at the minute, if we win them too, then you've got to look at us and think, you know, automatics is a real, real possibility. Whereas that was it. You know, that was a dream 6 weeks ago. That, you know, nobody would have even imagined it. And it's just unthinkable, really, considering, you know, how far he's came.
How times can change. Hey, Niall, I tell you what I loved about yesterday was the video that, not surfaced, can't really say that, but that was released by Sunderland of Phil in the tunnel before the players came out. And every player that came out, he was shaking a hand. Drive us on, go on, drive us on. For a couple of players, he gave a little remark about something to do with their game or a tactic that he'd obviously talked about in the changing room. But as they walked out, drive us on, go on, drive us on. I loved that.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I said here, you know, a few weeks ago, and like you say, a lot of lads put the nick as well. And when I said, you know, he loves a good high five and stuff in and around. I mean, like I say, I know a few people who were in and around the club, and they see he's just such a kind of, gives people confidence. You know, he's the type of bloke that when he puts his arm under your shoulder, you kind of listen. And like I say, he loves a high five, and he gets everybody involved. He gets the chefs, the staff, everybody, the media team, everybody he can. He gets involved in everything, and I think it really is just kind of shining through. And yeah, I said on the Rock and Roll podcast months ago, I said if Phil Parkinson gets us promoted, I'll get his face tattooed on my back, and I'm kind of regretting that now.
Mate, that is a distinct possibility. Oh, can't wait to see that one. Niall Bromley with a Phil Parkinson tattoo on his back. We'll be talking a bit more about that, actually, after this on the Sunderland Fan Show.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It is the Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with Niall Bromley of the Roker Report. We've got about 12, 13 minutes to go, Niall. And just quickly before we move on, Jordan Willis or John Messina own goal? Which one was it? Jordan Willis or John Messina? We're hearing varying reports. Apparently, Jordan Willis got the vital touch, but it wasn't going in and deflected off Messina. What do you reckon?
It's a goal. That's what I reckon.
Perfect. That's all that counts, really, isn't it?
I don't know. I've watched it back literally about six or seven times. You can't... The camera angle, it's very hard to see. Obviously, we want it to be Willis because he hasn't scored for us. So it would be great if it was him. But, I mean, like I say, a goal's a goal. I'm not bothered who scores him as long as they go in. So we'll take it. But, yeah, hopefully it gets rewarded Willis, but I don't think it's going to.
OK, well, on Willis, to be fair, he is having a very good season, isn't he? He's pretty much at the heart of everything that happened yesterday. He continues to perform week after week. And actually, I noticed a lovely story involving Willis and Luke 09 this week as well, that they sort of helped to establish this mentoring scheme to the under-18s. They meet up every Thursday, they sit down with the players and basically talk to them about all kinds of things. That's what Luke said. We talk about life, we talk about what's going on at home, we talk about what's going on at work, and basically pass on their advice to the youngsters. And Willis, of course, who's played, you know, in excess of 200 games, for crying out loud, has got all this experience that he can pass on to these kids. It's great to see.
Oh, absolutely amazing. I mean, I've heard about that for a little while, and it just sounds so great, so great. I mean, the thing is, it's kind of hard to get Luke away from the club. I mean, after training, he just wants to stay and just wants to do things. And it's, you know, if it's not going to the gym, he wants to do something else. And I think, yeah, you know, he's finally found something that he enjoys, and that helps a lot of people. And, you know, I think the club are willing to let him stay for those extra hours that he wants, because he's doing this, and get Willis involved as well. I mean, you've got two fantastic footballers, two great players, two players who have kind of come up the ranks. Jordan Willis coming through at Coventry as a young lad, Luke O'Dane coming through at Watford, and then, of course, making his, you know, real break at Wickham. And they know what it's like. And, you know, just the fact that they're just helping the community. And, I mean, I've never met anybody, and I know a lot of people who, you know, are close to the club, and I've never met anybody who has a single bad word to say about Luke O'Neill. And same about Jordan Willis. The pair of them are just a real, you know, just great for the club, and just fantastic having them here. And it's not just them two. There's a few other lads as well who are the same, but I think them two are the ones who are really pushing it. But it's just great to see it, and hopefully it benefits us in future years to come. And these two, you know, help develop these young lads and help develop them into great people and also great footballers like they are themselves.
Completely agree with you, mate. And if we look at the pros of yesterday, if we look at the cons of yesterday as well, look, it's positive around Sunderland the whole time, but Bailey Wright, I don't want to touch on a negativity aspect of Sunderland at the moment, but he looks like he's going to be out for a while now. He's got an ankle injury since he's come in on loan from Bristol City. He's been absolutely brilliant as well. But Parkinson said, didn't he? It looks quite serious, that one.
Yeah, it's going to be a big shame. The thing is, the one thing that we've got to come from that is the fact we do have depth, and we do have Elmas too, who is very comfortable and a very good player. And I think Partington trusts him, and also some of the fans, we trust him as well, and he can come in. And obviously Joe Lynch, when he gets back fit, he can come in as well. So it is a shame, because Bailey Wright has been fantastic since he signed for the club. But like I say, the one lucky thing is that we do have depth, and we do have players that can come in and do a good job. And the whole squad seems very united at the minute. And I think, I don't think it'll change much, Bailey Wright not being there, because I think we have got players to fill his boots. But obviously we'd rather have him there, but it is a shame. But that's why Phil Parkinson went out in January, and that's why Phil Parkinson made signings, because he knew it was getting to the crunch part of the season. We knew that we're going to have injuries or suspensions, and he's managed to, we've already had Joe Lynch out for a few weeks with concussion, and now obviously we've got Bailey Wright. So he's managed to get enough in to cover it, which is the one, good thing about it. But it's going to be a shame, but I don't think it'll affect results.
A lovely moment as well yesterday, Niall, amongst the crowd on 23 minutes. Grant Leadbitter and Phil Parkinson said after the game, didn't he, that he's going to have a few weeks away. He's got some personal issues that he needs to sort. So the club have granted him that. And this is so huge at the moment with mental health and the Heads Up campaign, of course, with Mind and, the initiative that was, co-kicked off by Prince William, of course. It's such a key issue, this, amongst football and in life in general. And Leadbitter, listen, only 34 years old now. He's lost both of his parents. He put a post on Instagram during the week which had a picture of his parents and has spoken really openly about his struggles to a certain extent. But the fans on 23 minutes, of course, the number that Grant Leadbitter wears, he's one of our own, to basically show him that, the fans, the club, are all with him in unison.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, it's one of those, and yeah, it is. It's happening quite often in football, but Grant Leadbitter, we will never. The Sunderland fans have always shown how much he means to us. I mean, I remember Grant Leadbitter breaking through into the team in 2008, and I remember him crossing one in for Danny Higginbottom, who got on the end in a header against Newcastle, and Grant Leadbitter turned to the crowd. This is, he was only so young back then, and pointed to his badge and stuff, and it's always been in his skin. And every club he's played at, Ipswich have had a big tribute to him. Middlesbrough, fantastically, had a banner behind the goal against Luton this weekend about him, and people come together in situations like that. And, yes, Middlesbrough are one of our rivals, they're just down the road, but, we'll always look, fans always look after each other, and they're looking after Grant just like we are. And it is sad to see, but, let him do, let him get over it. Let him just do what he has to do. That's absolutely fine. We'll stick by him. And hopefully the lads can get results for him, which they're doing at the minute, and get promotion at the end of the season for him, and pay him tribute, because he does deserve it, because he's a great lad. He's a great professional. He's a very good footballer. And all his career, like you see, he lost his dad. I think that was when he was at Sunderland the first time, and then he lost his mum last year. So, he has been through an awful lot, and it is tough for him, but it's fantastic to see everyone coming together and everyone trying to help him. And I really hope that he can recover, and I really hope he can come back and be as strong as ever and help us. But, just like I say, let him get over it the way he can, and hopefully, fingers crossed, he can, which I'm sure he will, and come back into the team stronger than ever.
Another player who's come back stronger than ever, Niall, is John McLaughlin, the goalkeeper, of course. Now, he was replaced, dislodged to a certain extent by Lee Burge earlier on in the season. It became not a joke, but we saw the issue in the FA Cup. I think it was the game with Gillingham where he jumped up into an empty crowd, didn't he, to collect a ball, and acted as a ball boy on that occasion. We fast forward to where we are now. He has just conceded 2 goals in his last 8 games. He's kept 7 clean sheets in that time. No team in the top 4 tiers of English football has recorded more clean sheets so far in 2020. What an effort from McLaughlin.
Brilliant. And considering as well, one of those goals was the most offside goal I've ever seen, and a foul for Lincoln at the stadium, which it was just a consolation. But I mean, it was still infuriating, because that would have been even one more on the record. But yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant. He's been brilliant since he signed for the club. He's a, Yeah, he's had a couple of mistakes, but every goalkeeper has a couple of mistakes, and you know it happens often. But he's just so confident, and you can see the clubs under his skin, and he's a great goalkeeper. He's a great shot stopper, and a lot of people think that sometimes he can be a little bit more, you know, when the crosses are coming in, he can be a little bit more commanding in his penalty area. But I don't think it's that much of a problem. He's an excellent goalkeeper, and yeah, like you say, when Parkinson still come in. He chose Lee Burge over John McLaughlin, and at the time there was a lot of fans think that was the right decision to make, and maybe, to be honest, maybe that little break that he had from the first team helped him. But he is fantastic. He's a great, like I said, he's a great professional and a great goalkeeper, and our clean sheet record was phenomenal, really. I mean, considering that it was, you know, when Parkinson first took over, we were leaking goals left, right and centre, and you know, a 3-0 dismantling at Peterborough, which was horrible to watch. All really defensive mistakes apart from a Marcus Madison free kick, and that just doesn't seem to happen anymore. Touch wood, it won't happen any, you know, in the future. But he really looks like he's pinnacle now. He's brilliant, and you know, he's at the top of his form, and just like the defence are as well, and I think they're complementing each other, so fingers crossed it can carry on into the remainder of the season, and like I said to you before, push us up into those top two.
Absolutely, mate. And maybe, if anything is to go by on what we've just said about Phil Parkinson, it was a tactical masterstroke to think, do you know what, I'm going to drop McLaughlin, and actually he's going to come back even better than he was before. Niall, it's been nothing but a pleasure having you on. Just before you go, of course, big games coming up, Bristol Rovers at home, which, you know, in the grand scheme of the thing, wouldn't have been a massive game, but they've just won their first in 15 under Ben Garner, so maybe their tails might be up. It's Fleetwood, of course, next after Bristol Rovers. They ended Peterborough's winning run, so they're back on the march. They're in eighth, just 2 points off the playoffs. Then it's Coventry, they're in second. Gillingham currently on a 13-game unbeaten run. So I'll tell you what, Paul Warne made a very good comment at the weekend, the Rotherham manager, and said, listen, in this league, you have to win just to stand still.
Yeah, you do. It's huge, but I said to you, midway through January when we had, you know, Portsmouth coming up, I had Ipswich coming up, Oxford coming up, Wickham, and we managed to get through them apart from Portsmouth. You know, we got results in all those games. So, yeah, it's another massive, massive. I mean, it's just massive now at the end of the season. And you're right, we seem to win every week, but not move. I mean, every week we're winning games, and then I look at the table and we're still fifth, and it's like, what? I mean, how? But it's because it's so, so tight and everybody's winning. And like you say, there's teams who are coming out of bad form, and now they're getting that form back. Like Ipswich, fantastic result for them, beating Burton 4-1 at the weekend. Peterborough were on a massive run and got beat off Fleetwood. You know, Oxford were on a good run, then now they're on a bad run, but they could come back again. Is Sunderland's good run a bit too early? It could be, you don't know. It's literally going to go right to the wire. It'll go to the last day. I think it'll be to the last day, and I think there'll be three or four teams who can get into that top two. And there's going to be some tears on the last day, and there's also going to be some elation. And hopefully where the ones celebrate, but it's going to go right to the wire. It's really going to be fascinating. And
it
from
is.
A neutral point of view, League One, unbelievable.
Lovely stuff. Niall, thank you very much for joining us. We'll expect tears from him next week. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.